At this time, we hear the public confession of faith of one of the young men of the congregation. Liam, would you arise and answer sincerely to these questions? First, do you acknowledge the doctrine contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and taught here in this Christian church to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation? Second, have you resolved by the grace of God to adhere to this doctrine, to reject all heresies repugnant thereto, and to lead a new, godly life? And third, will you submit to church government, and you, in case you should become delinquent, which may God graciously forbid, to church discipline? Liam Engelsma, what is your answer? Yeah. You may be seated. With gratitude to God, we will sing together Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the first verse, the first stanza, verses 105 and 106, and then the last two stanzas, which is verses 111 and 112. When we sang from the 1912 Psalter, this was customarily the portion of Psalm 119 that we would sing at the occasion of a confession of faith. And so even though the psalm book is different now, being the Scottish metrical psalter, and even though the tune is different, we sing these same words. But now we sing them with more understanding that God has given with regard to who is the one singing. Jesus sings, "Thy word is to my feet a lamp." Jesus says in verse 111, "I of thy testimonies have above all things made choice." Jesus sings in verse 112, "I carefully inclined have my heart still to attend, that I thy statutes may perform alway unto the end." We sing with our Savior then of his perfect righteousness with regard to the blessed holy law of God and our righteousness for his sake then. Verses 105 and 106, the first stanza, and then 111 and 112, the last two stanzas, will remain seated to sing those verses. Let us call upon the name of our covenant God together now in congregational prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, we call upon thee in the evening of this day, the wonders of our Savior and all his work filling our view. For thou hast taught us in the gospel of the Psalms, and laid upon our hearts by the sovereign operation of thy Holy Spirit, the truth that to Jesus thy word is a lamp unto his feet and a light upon his path. Thou hast taught us the wonderful testimony that our Lord Jesus Christ has set thy testimonies above all things, and that he made them his heritage foray, that his heart rejoiced at the hearing of thy holy law. And thou hast brought us very deep into the heart of our Lord, and thou hast shown us what lay there. Thou hast shown us his careful inclination of his heart to all the things of thy law, to attend unto them, that he might perform thy statutes always unto the end. And this he has done for us and for our children. This he has done for his precious church, bought with his own blood and covered in the righteousness, the robes of righteousness that our Savior himself has washed. We thank thee, Father, for the wonder work of thy Spirit in laying these truths not only upon our hearts, but upon the hearts of our children. We thank thee for that sovereign and mysterious work of thy Spirit, who enters into our hearts and who creates faith, uniting us unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might know and be sure of all that he knows and is sure of, that we might see as he sees and hear as he hears and think as he thinks, and all of this, the sight and the hearing and the knowledge and the confidence of faith. We thank thee, Father, that thou dost cause us and our children to see beyond sight, to see beyond the things that appear, to see beyond the things that are temporary, and to see all the way to the eternal. Indeed, to see not only forward by faith to the end of all things, which is the glorification of thy church in the day of Jesus Christ, but thou dost teach us by faith to look all the way back, and to see to the beginning and beyond the beginning, to see into thy very counsel, and to know the things that thou hast thought and the things that are thy purpose, to know Jesus Christ as he is there, for all things were made by him and for him. And he is the firstborn of every creature in thy counsel, the purpose and the good pleasure of thee, our God. And we thank thee, Father, that by that same operation of thy Spirit in our hearts, giving us to see by faith these things that thou hast revealed in thy word, we have certainty and confidence that our salvation cannot be taken away. Sinners though we are, and wretched though we are, for our salvation is founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are given to him from before the foundation of the world, and shall remain his until all eternity, no man being able to pluck us out of his hand. For thou hast given us to him, and thou art greater than all, and no man is able to pluck us out of thy hand. We pray then, Father, that thou wilt lay upon us this goodness of this gospel, that thou wilt give to us its joy, that thou wilt cause the peace of that truth to suffuse our hearts, that we might be at rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness and our Savior. We thank thee for bringing us into thy house, that we might worship thee again this evening. What a privilege it is to come into thy house. For who shall ascend into thy hill? Who shall dwell with thee, the holy and the living God? Only him that hath clean hands and a pure heart, that hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. We thank thee then that thou hast brought us, such as us even, into thy house, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that righteous man, who never swore deceitfully, and whose hands always are clean, and whose heart is pure. What a privilege, Father, that we might assemble before thy face without fear of being destroyed, for thou dost love thy church, and hast revealed that love in our Savior, for he is the brightness of thy glory, and the express image of thy person. In him thou hast shown forth thy love In him thou hast proclaimed thy name, the name of the Lord, the name of our merciful and gracious God. We pray then, Father, that thou wilt comfort our souls here in thy house, that thou wilt speak to us, that thou wilt speak to us mercifully, speak to us graciously, speak those things that we must hear. We must hear the gospel, we must hear glad tidings. How we need glad tidings in the midst of this earthly sojourn as we wander here below. We pray that thou wilt speak to us the glad tidings of heaven, the glad tidings of the song of witness, that though Jeshurun kicked, thou hast been merciful. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt show us that mercy in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is proclaimed in our midst. We thank thee also for the sacrament that thou hast added to the preaching of the gospel, that by that sacrament thou mightest testify unto us the certainty of our Savior's death for our sins, and the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood, that we sinners might be righteous before thee. We pray that thou wilt show us in the word preached and in the sacramental word the gospel of our salvation in Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that thou wilt look upon us in our many needs. They continue to be heavy for us to bear. Wilt thou remember us in the infirmities of our bodies? Remember us also in the infirmities of our souls. Bless us in our troubles and ailments in the flesh, and bless us in our troubles and ailments in the mind. Wilt thou sustain us, and wilt thou give unto us patience, and give unto us faith, by which we wait upon thee, knowing that thou workest all things for our good, and that, indeed, nothing can truly be against us, but that all things must and do work together for good to them that love thee, to them who are the called according to thy purpose. We pray thy blessing upon the preaching of the gospel this evening. Bless thy servant as he proclaims thy word. Open his mouth and cause him to say, thus saith the Lord. Remember us as we hear. Wilt thou cause us to hear by faith that sovereign work of thy Holy Spirit. We pray that thou wilt remember our elders, blessing them as they oversee the preaching of the gospel, that they may see to it that the congregation is fed in the green pastures of thy word. Wilt thou remember our deacons also, as they minister the mercies of Christ to those in need? Wilt thou bless them with overflowing hearts, filled with the riches of thy grace, that they might bring a word in season to the distressed? And we thank thee for Jesus Christ, who is the prophet, priest, and king of this congregation. Wilt thou remember us and bless us by him? Remember also our brethren near and far, bless the saints in Singapore, strengthen them, bless the saints in the Philippines, strengthen them, establish churches in due time in those places according to thy will, that there might be a reformed witness of the reformed faith in those places. And because thou art the God who doth build thy church through Jesus Christ, who by his word and spirit gathers, defends, and preserves his church, wilt thou do this thing according to thy purpose and thy will. We pray that thou wilt remember us also in the preaching of the gospel to our brethren. Wilt thou cause the word might go, that the word might go forth according to thy mysterious providence, according to thy mysterious work, by the operation of thy Spirit and in thy grace, that thy people might be fed and nourished unto everlasting life. We pray thy blessing also upon our school. Remember Pavilion Christian. Bless the board and its meetings. Wilt thou give them strength. Bless the administrator and his labors. Wilt thou bless the teachers and bless our covenant seed. And bless all who labor on behalf of their rearing. We thank thee, Father, that the school, as the church, as indeed our homes, and as all things depend not upon our arm of strength, but upon thee, the living God, and upon Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Thou hast built our house, keep now our city. Forgive the sins that we have committed against thee, wash them away in our Savior's blood. We thank thee for thy mercy in him, and we thank thee for his gospel that gladdens the hearts of us sinners. We pray, Father, that thou wilt keep us from sin also, giving unto us a life of gratitude, giving us a life of obedience unto thee, that we might do those good works that thou hast before ordained for us, that they might be to the praise of the glory of thy grace, and that they might be for the good of thy people, that thy people might see these good works and glorify thee in heaven. Hear our prayer, Father, answer us in thy mercy, for we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen. We worship the Lord now in the giving of our offerings. The first offering is for the Evangelism Fund, and the second is for the School Fund. Turn now to Psalm 78, verses 54 through 61. Psalm 78, which is divided up into several tunes in our book, we're looking at that portion that begins with verse 54, Psalm 74, or 78 rather, verses 54 through 61. The portion of this psalm that comes from the Song of Witness in Deuteronomy 32 is verse 56. After God has said that his doctrine, which he is going to teach, will drop like dew, after he has recounted his keeping his people as the apple of his eye, he recounts what his people did. Yet God Most High they did provoke, and tempted ever still, and testimonies of their God they observed not at all, but like their fathers turned back and dealt unfaithfully, and provoked his anger, verse 58. We'll sing at this time then verses 54 through 61 of Psalm 78.
Thank you.
Turn in God's Word this evening to Deuteronomy chapters 31 and 32. Deuteronomy 31, beginning at verse 9, and reading through the end of chapter 32. In Deuteronomy 31, we have God instructing Moses with regard to the reading of the Bible, or the reading of the law, and then with regard to the writing of the song, that is the theme of the sermon this evening, the song of witness. And then in Deuteronomy 32, we have the actual words of that song of witness. We'll begin our reading then at Deuteronomy 31, beginning at verse 9. And Moses wrote this law, and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach, that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went, and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day, and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion, and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song, until they were ended. And now the words of the song. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats, with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat, and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them, I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said, I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, Our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000, and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me, and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people, and repent himself for his servants, when he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, Where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you, and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven, and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword, and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies, and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said unto them, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain, Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people, because he trespassed against me among the children of Israel, at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. This is God's word, holy and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this morning. Our text is back in chapter 31, verse 19, Deuteronomy 31, verse 19. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, at the occasion of the confession of faith of one of the young people, the young adults of the congregation stands before a question. And that question is this: what must the next generation in Remnant Reformed Church know? What must they know? What must they know about God? What must they know about God's church? What must the next generation of God's people know and have in their hearts, and that they may hand over that message to the next generation yet? What must the next generation of God's children, of God's people, and remnant Reformed Church know? In Deuteronomy 31 and 32, God gave Israel a song for that very purpose, a song for the generations to come. God gave them that song for the generations, as is evident in God's instruction regarding the psalm. In chapter 31, verse 21, there God says, "It shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed." The seed would remember this song, learning this song, being taught this song, so that the next generation would know the things contained in this song. That this song was for the next generation is evident from the song itself. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 7, God says to the people, "Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee." God gave this song to his church so that the seed of the church, the next generation of the church, would know the message of this song, and it would continue among them generation after generation. The incident that is recorded here in the giving of this song was a very significant incident in the history of Israel. Moses is about to die. God is giving Moses final instructions before Moses departs from the children of Israel, and Joshua takes the lead, bringing them into the land of Canaan. At that incident, or at that occasion, God gave to his people a book to read. That's called the Book of the Law. We would call it something like the Bible. God gave them their Bible. He gave them their book to read. And at that occasion, he gave them their book to sing, what we might call a psalter. He gave them their Bible, and he gave them their psalter, their book to read and their book to sing. That's always the way God works in the history of his church. He gives us our Bible, and he gives us our psalter. He gives us the book to read, and he gives us the book to sing. The book that God gave them to sing, we might call the Song of Witness. God said in our text, chapter 31, verse 19, "Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel." That song of witness that God gave in Deuteronomy 32 has been distributed by the Holy Spirit throughout the book of the 150 Psalms, so that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ still sings the song of witness today as it has been distributed among the Psalms. And that's because the theme and the message of that song of witness is the exact same theme and message as the 150 Psalms of David. God has distributed the psalm, or the song rather, in Psalm 72 and Psalm 18 and Psalm 85 and Psalm 116 and many, many other psalms. God gave this song of witness to the next generation in order to teach them this very important message. The church is sinful, but God is merciful. There is the message of the song of witness. This is the testimony from generation to generation. The church is sinful, but God is merciful. The church is unfaithful, but God is faithful. The church is sinful, but God is gracious. It is the message of the song of witness. And do you know what word we give to that song of witness? Do you know what we call that message that the Song of Witness taught, we call that message the gospel. It is good news. It is the only good news. The good news for the Church of Jesus Christ is that God in His mercy has come to us in the Lord Jesus Christ and been faithful to His promise and been gracious unto us who are sinners and corrupt and vile, who wax fat and kick. God has been merciful to us in Jesus Christ. That's the message of the Song of Witness. That's the message of the Book of Psalms. That's the message of the whole Bible. It is the truth of the mercy of God to His sinful people in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the next generation must know. That is the message that must be handed down generation after generation in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore that is the message that we hear this evening at the occasion of Confession of Faith. Let us consider this text under the theme, the Song of Witness. In the first place, consider its theme. In the second place, consider its purpose. And in the third place, consider its necessity. The Song of Witness, its theme, its purpose, and its necessity. The Song of Witness has one theme. That's what we begin with. The one theme of the Song of Witness, but that one theme is in two parts. And so we will see those two parts and then see how those two parts are the one theme of the song. The first part of the Song of Witness, of the theme of the Song of Witness, is this, Jeshurun kicked. That's the message. That's the first part of the message of the Song of Witness. Jeshurun kicked. You find that language in verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Jeshurun kicked. Jeshurun here in this song is Israel. Jeshurun refers to the church. Jeshurun is a word that God uses to refer to Israel four times throughout the scriptures. Two other times in the book of Deuteronomy and then once in the book of Isaiah. Jeshurun is a word for Israel. Jeshurun is made up of some of the same letters that Israel is made up of. It's hard to see that in the English, but in the Hebrew, the first three letters of Jeshurun are the same letters as the first three letters of Israel. If we would pronounce Israel something like this, Jishrael, then you could see Jeshurun, Jishrael. The J sound, the Sh sound, and the R sound. Jeshurun, Jishrael. Jeshurun is a name for Israel. But Jeshurun is a name for Israel that is full of affection. It is almost a pet name for Israel. It is a loving name for Israel. It is what we call a diminutive name. So that God took the name Israel and He pronounced that word a little differently in order to indicate His affection for this Israel. It's something like we do by often adding the E sound to names that we might give to our children. Trying to pick a name now that's not in the congregation so as not to embarrass anyone, but if someone's name was Charles, then the parents might call that child Charlie. Pronouncing that name, but pronouncing that name a little differently in order to indicate affection. That's the idea of Jeshurun here. It's a diminutive that is meant to convey the love and affection of God for Israel. That name captures then in one word what God thinks of His people. It captures in one word how He looks at His church. He loves her. He loves her with a tenderness and affection that He expresses in her name. Jeshurun, Jeshurun, my Israel, my little Israel, as it were. Jeshurun is the name of the people of God. And God displayed that love for His Jeshurun, for His Israel, in all of his saving work to her. And the Song of Witness records that saving work of God, verses 7 through 14. Remember the days of old. Consider those years. Think back, you generations to come, on those years in the wilderness that the people of Israel were currently in the midst of. They had just come to the end of those years. They were about to enter into the land of Canaan, but they were still living in those years of the wilderness. Now, you future generation, knowing this song, think back on those years. Remember the years of old. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. What was it like to be the people of God in the wilderness? Why, God dealt with us in the wilderness according to his eternal will. Can you believe that? God dealt with us according to his good pleasure of love for us that had been from all eternity. Because when the Most High, verse 8, divided the nations for their inheritance, he divided all of that inheritance with a view to Israel. He separated the sons of Adam, but he set bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. He did everything in the whole world for Israel. What else was it like to belong to God in the wilderness? Well, verse 9, the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. These are the people that belong unto him. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, as he spreadeth her wings and taketh them and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone bore us on eagle's wings to himself and did lead us in the midst of the wilderness. There was no strange God with him then, but Jehovah was with her. God made Jeshurun ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of the kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Perhaps what the song is teaching there is what God would give them, all of those bounties in the land of Egypt. But perhaps what that song is teaching is what God gave them in the wilderness. They sucked oil out of the flinty rock when God gave them water from the rock and honey out of that rock. Though it was water that came out of that rock, it was an abundance. It was luxury for them, the luxury of salvation, the bounties of salvation. And their manna from heaven was like butter of kine and the wheat of the kidney of the wheat. God gave to them everything that they needed in those days of old. He fed them to the full so that they overflowed with the goodness of God to them. This is that Jeshurun. This is that beloved people of God. And this was his work to them. But Jeshurun kicked. That's what you can say about Jeshurun, receiving all of these blessings from Jehovah. Verse 15, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Jeshurun forgot God and worshipped idols. This is what Israel would do when she entered into the land of Canaan. She would kick against God, having waxed fat with all his bounties unto her. Verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy. With strange gods, with abominations, provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. They were mad, they were insane with their forsaking Jehovah and looking to other gods. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. This was Jeshurun. This was Israel. With all of the saving blessings of God upon her, Jeshurun kicked. That's all you can say about Jeshurun. There's nothing in the song and nothing into the lead up to the song that indicates any goodness in Jeshurun. There's nothing that indicates any obedience in Jeshurun. There is nothing but kicking in Jeshurun. The song describes in its theme, in the first part of its theme, the sinful nature of the church, the sinful nature that she carries with her as the church, a totally depraved nature, a nature in which there is no good, but only sin. Jeshurun kicked. And God said this is what Israel would do when she came into the land of Canaan. He said that throughout chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 16. The Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Verse 18, I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, and that they are turned to other gods. Verse 20, For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. Verse 21, It shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For I know their imagination, which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Verse 27, For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? And verse 29, For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. This is the truth of Israel, and this is the truth that comes up in this song as part of its theme. It is the truth of verse 5, chapter 32, verse 5. They have corrupted themselves. That's the church. That's Jeshurun. That's Israel. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot, their mark is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Jeshurun kicked. There's a problem with Jeshurun. The problem with Jeshurun is that Jeshurun is sinful. And that's all that can be said about Jeshurun. There's nothing in the song that says about Jeshurun, but she's faithful. She's faithful after all. There's nothing in the song about the faithfulness of Jeshurun. There is only in the song that must be a witness, generation after generation, the kicking of Jeshurun, the sin and the iniquity of Jeshurun. That's the first part of the theme of the Song of Witness. The second part of the theme of the Song of Witness is the solution. It is the good news regarding that Jeshurun and all her kicking. And the second part of the theme of the Song of Witness is Jehovah's mercy. Jehovah's faithfulness to his promise. Jehovah's grace to a people that do not deserve his favor. Jehovah is merciful. That's the second part of the theme. That's not what we might think. We might think that the second part of the theme is that Jehovah will destroy them. That is what Israel deserved. She deserved to have the arrows of God stick in her. She deserved to be cast into the lowest depths of hell. God speaks of very severe chastisements that he will bring upon the people in his mercy to them, which chastisements too are mercy to them, to show them the error of their way. But we might think, reading through all of that judgment of God, that the second part of the theme is that the people of God must be destroyed. They cannot live. They cannot inherit the land. They cannot be maintained. But that's not the second part of the theme. The second part of the theme is unexpected. The second part of the theme is humanly impossible. The second part of the theme is this. God will be merciful to his people. Jeshurun kicked, but God will be merciful. That declaration of the mercy of God is the rousing conclusion of the song. It is the last word of the song. It is the theme that reverberates through the ages. It is the theme that resounds in the hearts of the people as they finish this song. It is this, verse 43 of chapter 32, "Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people." That is not something any mere human could have seen coming. What we would have seen coming is the destruction of the church. We would have seen coming the wiping off from the face of the earth of that church. But the end of the song is the mercy of God to his land and the mercy of God to his people. And that mercy is wonderful. That mercy is deep. God's mercy to his people is a great pity for them. When he looks upon his people, he is moved with compassion for them. God speaks of that great pity and compassion in verse 36. "The Lord shall judge his people," and the word "judge" there does not mean destroy, but the word "judge" there means judge for, judge on behalf of, be the defender of his people. "The Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left." God looks upon his people with loving kindness, with tender mercies, with compassion, and with pity. That's how he looks at his church. That's what he thinks of this Jeshurun who kicked. He loves her. He loves her yet and is compassionate towards her. That mercy of God is described very deeply in the song as a mercy of God that is for his own name's sake. This mercy of God is not a mercy that his people have drawn. It is not a mercy that we have elicited from Jehovah by something about us, whether our strength or our weakness. But it is a mercy of God that is for his name's sake, which means that this mercy is rooted in his own being. This mercy is rooted in himself as God. And this mercy, therefore, is according to his good pleasure. For God himself is always according to his good pleasure. That this mercy is rooted in God's name is evident from the language in verse 27 and following. God says all the things that his people would deserve. And God says, "I would bring this upon them were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this." God is using figurative language. He's speaking down on our level according to our capacity. God is not saying that his heart quailed with fear because of what the enemy might say, but God rather is revealing that this mercy that he has for his people is for his own name's sake, lest there be anyone upon the face of the earth who say, "We have destroyed the people of God. We have done this. We have been victorious. God hath not done all this. We have done all this." God, for his own name's sake, has mercy upon his people. In that mercy, he would deliver them from their foe. That's in the song, verses 41 through 43. "If I whet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries." That's what the mercy of God does. Delivers his church from her foes. There's the devil. There's the world. There's your flesh and mine. God delivers his church, taking vengeance upon the foe for his mercy's sake. And in his mercy to his people, he teaches his people that there is no God but Jehovah, that all the gods that they sought after, which for us is simply the God of man in all of his different forms, all the gods that they sought after are no gods, but God alone is God and their God. Verses 39 and 40, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. No idol can say that. No mere man can say that of himself and of his own being. Only God can lift up his hand to heaven and say, I live forever. In his mercy, God would teach his people that he alone is God. He would teach them the truth. And in that mercy, God would take this Jeshurun, and he would bring them into his promised land, into that inheritance that he had promised them. God says that before the song even begins, God declares the end of what shall be for Jeshurun from the beginning of the song of witness. And the end for them shall be this, as he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, chapter 31, verse 23, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. These are the two parts of the theme of the song of witness. Jeshurun kicked, but God is merciful to his people. And now, let us put those two parts of the theme together and see the one theme of the song of witness. Can you see it? That one theme of the song of witness is Jesus. Jesus. That was the theme. That's what God declared. What does Jesus mean after all? Jesus is Jehovah salvation. Who needs salvation? Not the righteous, not the good, not the obedient. They need no salvation. Sinners, Jeshurun who kicks, needs salvation. In the name Jesus is the declaration of what the church is by nature. She is a sinner waxen fat and kicking. And what does God do for that sinful church? What does Jehovah do but save her? Saving her by Jesus Christ. Saving her through his flesh and blood. God saves his church through Jesus, so that the theme of the song of witness is Jesus. The theme of that song is Jesus as the revelation of God. Chapter 32, verse 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. I will publish the name of the Lord. The name is the revelation of the Lord. The name is that which teaches the truth about the Lord. The name of the Lord is declared in this song, so that Jesus is the revelation of God. The song, therefore, with its theme Jesus, is a theocentric psalm, a theocentric song. It is a theological song. It is a song that teaches the truth of God and his mercy for his people in Jesus Christ. Jesus is not only the revelation of God, but Jesus is the message of the gospel, and the song of witness says that it is the gospel as well. That's how the song opens in verses 1 and 2. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. There is a declaration, a speaking and words. And the content of those words is my doctrine. What shall that doctrine do? It shall drop as the rain. It shall distill as the dew, as the small, or the soft rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. That's the word of the gospel. The word of Jesus Christ and salvation for him. That is good news. That is refreshing news for the church of Jesus Christ, who is this Jeshurun who kicks, but to whom the Lord is merciful in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the content. He is the theme. He is the message of the song of witness, just as he is the content, the theme, the message of all the Psalms, and as he is the content and the theme and the message of the whole Word of God. Jesus is the message of this song that must be taught generation by generation, that they might know this blessed gospel. The purpose of the Song of Witness in the first place was to witness against Israel. God teaches that in our text when he says, "Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel, put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me." This song would remain a perpetual testimony of something concerning God and concerning his people. And this song would remain a perpetual testimony of a witness against Israel. Israel's pride would be her fatness. Israel's problem would be her pride, in which she thought that she herself, as represented in all of these gods of the nations, brought to her all her salvation in the land of Canaan. That's always the pride of the heart of man. That's always the pride of the men of the church. The pride of your hearts and mine is this: we have gotten salvation. That's why the false doctrine that keeps coming up again and again is that salvation is by the will or the works of man. That's why that false doctrine has to be fought generation after generation. It is because this is our pride. The Song of Witness stands as a perpetual testimony against that pride of Israel. That's not only in our text, but also verse 21 of chapter 31. This song shall testify against them as a witness. And verses 29 and 30. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song, until they were ended. That message of the gospel stands as a perpetual testimony against the pride that belongs to our flesh. When our flesh thinks that salvation comes by our work, then the gospel says, but Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the revelation of God. And Jesus is Jehovah salvation. Not you salvation. Not your will, not your works, not mine. But Jesus is Jehovah salvation. There is no salvation. There is no goodness. There is no blessing that comes to the people of God but by Jesus. That becomes stark in the message of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the curse. That's the rending of the flesh of Jesus and the shedding of his blood. Here is what your kicking merited. It merited the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what your sins brought. The pride of the child of God, the natural pride that belongs to his flesh, is witnessed against by the word of the gospel. That witness against the children of Israel and their pride, the pride of the church would also be a witness for God. That witness of the Song of Witness stands as a perpetual testimony of the mercy, the unmerited mercy, the grace, the undeserved grace of God for sinners such as us. That message of the gospel stands as the perpetual testimony that though everything points to our destruction, because that is what we have deserved, nevertheless, God is merciful to His church. And God has not broken your body and shed your blood in the fires of hell for your sin, but Christ's body and blood in your place and in mine. That's the mercy of God, unimaginable mercy. And the testimony of the purpose of the Song of Witness. And the purpose of this witness against the natural pride of the church and for the mercy of God in Christ is for the generation to come. God gave this song for the generation to come. He gives this message of the gospel for the generation to come. There never comes a generation in the history of the earth that is finished hearing this good news of the gospel, this glad tidings for sinners. We kicked. That's what we did. But God was merciful and saved us from our sin in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the message, not only for confession of faith, but this is the message, generation after generation in the church, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That song of witness is necessary. That song of witness is necessary for remnant Reformed Church. That song of witness is necessary because the Church of Jesus Christ, according to the flesh of her members, always has itching ears. Your ears and mine right now itch, as the Apostle taught Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. The itch is the itch of the flesh that grows tired of the song of witness. It grows tired of the message of Jesus. It grows tired of the gospel. It grows tired of the revelation of God. It has an itch that needs to be scratched with something else besides this constant testimony that Jeshurun kicked. But God was merciful in Christ. And that flesh, rising out of the church, finally takes over and heaps to itself teachers so that the itch of our flesh can be scratched. And there are teachers lined up around the block to come in and teach us something other than Jeshurun kicked, but God was merciful, to teach us something other than Jesus Christ. That's true of your ears. That's true of your flesh and mine. This gospel is not palatable to our flesh. And therefore, the Church of Jesus Christ and Remnant Reformed Church faces the threat that we need to begin emphasizing something else than that song of witness. That happened in our mother church, and that's our stock, as we see again and again. That's where we come from. What happened in the Protestant Reformed churches around the year 2018? We were told that the controversy that had unfolded and was unfolding in the Protestant Reformed churches taught us that we need to teach more and emphasize more what God makes of a man. That's what was written. That's what was taught. We need to emphasize more what God makes of a man. God gives a man regeneration. God gives a man new life. He gives these things to His people. Well, it is true that God regenerates His people, and it is true that God gives new life. But that teaching was set over against the teaching that we are sinners who stand in need of the external alien righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. It was set over against justification by faith alone. And the moment that all of that work of God in regeneration is set over against the message that Jeshurun kicked, the message that we are sinners and that our salvation must come from outside of us in Christ, the moment that happens, all of that becomes a condition to salvation. The thinking is this, and it always goes this way in the church, and so we must not be surprised if we find that thinking in our own flesh at Remnant as well. The thinking goes that if we hear too much about our sin, then there will be bad spiritual fruits that result in the congregation. If we hear too much about our sin, that will destroy hope, so that the child of God says, I'm such a sinner, there's no hope for me. Or that if we hear too much about our sin, that will destroy faith, because it's affirming to the flesh that is the source and fount of this sin. The thinking goes that if we hear too much about our sin, then it will make us careless and profane. It will make us antinomian and licentious. It will make us think about ourselves, since I am a sinner and a viper anyway, then I had better give myself over to that sin. That's the thinking that lies behind it. And it's not hard for us to imagine that thinking. That if we hear too much about our sin, it will result in evil spiritual fruit in the congregation. The thinking is that what we need to hear as an antidote to all of our sin is an emphasis on the obedience of the child of God, the grateful obedience, the life of regenerated obedience, the life of the child of God as a covenant friend of God in thanksgiving to Him. What we need is an emphasis on that obedient life as an antidote to the message that we are sinners. We need to hear about our sanctification. We need to hear about the activity of faith. And it's true. We are sanctified. And it is true. Faith is an activity. It is knowing. It is trusting. But the moment that those things, those true things, sanctification or the activity of faith, is set over against the message that we are sinners, as the solution to the message that we are sinners, that is the moment that those things all become a condition. And so, Remnant must hear a warning. This is not a new warning, but it is a true warning. And the warning is this: if we as a church go in the direction of emphasizing activity, even the sanctified activity of the child of God, worked by the Spirit in our hearts, if we go in the direction of emphasizing activity as an antidote to the message that Jeshurun kicked, then we will lose the doctrine of election. That warning was issued in the 1940s and 50s by Herman Hoeksema in the Protestant Reformed churches regarding the liberated doctrine of the covenant. And that warning came true. The liberated doctrine is that the covenant is conditional, that God establishes it with the elect and the reprobate alike. They lost the doctrine of election, the liberated did. That warning was issued to the Protestant Reformed churches in the 2010s by a minister in the Protestant Reformed churches, that if we emphasize activity, we will lose election, and the Protestant Reformed churches did. Their doctrine now is that in eternity, the child of God is not forgiven. He does not have forgiveness there. He only has forgiveness here when he has done his work and exercised his activity, whatever that may be. They lost election. And that is the warning that the church must always hear. It's no wonder that this will arise from our flesh. This is the way it always goes. This is the battle that must always be fought. If we emphasize the activity of man as the solution to Jeshurun Kicked, then we have lost the doctrine of election. It will happen. It will come true, just as it always has. What is the hope for sinners? The hope for sinners is not the activity of man. The hope for sinners is the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. There's the gospel that's always been the gospel, that remains the gospel. It is glad tidings for sinners. It is glad tidings for Jeshurun who kicks. This is what you have in you. This is what I have in me. This flesh, this sin, this iniquity. But that does not leave us hopeless. That does not even begin to leave us hopeless. Because the message for kicking Jeshurun is this: but God is merciful. And but God has given us righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the faithfulness of God. Behold that faithfulness in the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how faithful God is, to the slaying of His own Son, His only begotten Son in our place, that we, kicking Jeshurun, might be righteous before Him and live forever before Him. That is the gospel. That's the good news of the Song of Witness. And that is the message that is proclaimed in the gospel of salvation and the message that is signified and sealed in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. There is the hope of the child of God. And here is the message of that Song of Witness. Jesus, amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. Wilt Thou bless it to our hearts in this evening? Wilt Thou give unto us the peace and the joy of that gospel of salvation? And wilt Thou evermore give us this gospel and take it not away? For Thou knowest our folly, Thou knowest our weakness. We thank Thee that Thou art merciful in the Lord Jesus Christ to sinners such as us. We thank Thee also now for this supper that Thou hast graciously spread before us, joining it to the word of the gospel to confirm our faith and to seal unto us the salvation that Thou hast wrought. We beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood, yea, with Him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but He in us, and we in Him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also Thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. And that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks he brake it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. In like manner also when he had supped, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. We partake of the bread according to the ordinance of our Lord, who said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. First Corinthians 11, verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening Spirit, that we by the same, who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Take of the wine, according to the ordinance of our Lord, who said, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Let us pray. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy infinite mercy, given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. We turn now to Psalm 85, Psalm 85. In Psalm 85, verse 1, we have a portion of the Song of Witness. In fact, we have that concluding portion, the testimony of the mercy of God to his land and to his people. Verse 1 of Psalm 85, O Lord, thou hast been favorable to thy beloved land. Let's sing verses 1 and 1 through 7. So that's the first five stanzas, verses 1 through 7 of Psalm 85.
Thank you.
Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord lift up his face upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.